Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul directs the Corinthians to restore a repentant sinner back to fellowship. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, with some background notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 helps us as we try to fill in the gaps of Paul's communication and contact with the church at Corinth. Remember we said in chapter 1 that Paul may have written as many as 4 letters to the church at Corinth and may have made 3 visits to Corinth. In verse 1 here we read, but I determined this within myself that I would not come again to you in sorrow. Well, we know that Paul did not come to Corinth in sorrow the first time when the church was founded on his second missionary journey. And we know that this letter of 2 Corinthians was written from Ephesus before Paul came to Corinth on his third missionary journey. So it looks like Paul may have come over to Corinth from Ephesus for a quick disciplinary visit, known as the painful visit. That second visit is referred to here in verse 1. But I determined this within myself that I would not come again to you in sorrow. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, backs up the fact that this painful visit is Paul's second visit. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you. And also 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. This will be the third time I am coming to you. Soon after Paul's return to Ephesus from this painful visit, he wrote a sorrowful letter referred to here in verses 3 and 4. Let's read those verses. And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Most scholars and commentators believe this sorrowful letter, written with many tears, is now lost and is not the letter of 1 Corinthians, but a letter written after the painful visit. Now in verses 12 and 13, Paul gives the Corinthians the reason he changed his itinerary and did not return to Corinth for ministry as soon as he intended. Remember, we saw back in chapter 1 that those who were trying to undermine Paul's apostolic authority accused the apostle of vacillation because he changed his plans. Well, here in verses 12 and 13, Paul gives us his good reason why he delayed his return to Corinth. Look at verses 12 and 13 once again. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. That's verses 12 and 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So Paul stayed for a while at Troas because the Lord opened a door for ministry there. He was hoping Titus would meet him there and bring news from Corinth, because Titus had carried the sorrowful letter to Corinth. After a time of ministry at Troas, Paul moved on to Macedonia, where he did join up with Titus. Titus brought news from Corinth, and that became the occasion for writing this letter known as 2 Corinthians. Paul followed up this letter with his final recorded visit to Corinth that we read about in the first few verses of Acts chapter 20. Now, just for the record, the Apostle Paul may have visited Corinth one more time between his two Roman imprisonments. We know that Paul visited a number of places after release from his first Roman imprisonment. These travels are sometimes called his fourth missionary journey, and he may have made it to Corinth. 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, was written from Paul's second Roman imprisonment after these travels, and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Paul wrote, "Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick." Now, when did Paul leave Erastus at Corinth and Trophimus at Miletus? Was this on his third missionary journey when he visited these places, or on his so-called fourth missionary journey? We don't know for sure, but Paul may have returned to Corinth at that time. Well, so much for our background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one, tough love includes sorrow. Tough love includes sorrow. What is tough love? When you love someone, but you have to do something that hurts or is unpleasant or involves discipline, and yet it's the right thing to do, that's tough love. Paul loved the Corinthian believers, and he wanted the best for them, and he wanted to rejoice with them. But there was a specific problem at Corinth that needed to be dealt with. We know from our study of 1 Corinthians that the Corinthian church had a number of problems. But exactly what specific problem necessitated the painful visit and sorrowful letter referred to here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we can't be sure. We see from verses 5 through 8 of this chapter that the specific problem here involved the actions of a certain man at Corinth. Now, this may have been the man involved in sexual sin, mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Or it may have been some outspoken critic of Paul, who was a ringleader of the factions at Corinth. We don't know for sure, but in any case, something had to be done about it, and it involved discipline and a painful visit and a sorrowful letter. This was tough love. Tough love involves sorrow. We see from verses 1 through 4 of our chapter that in this case, it involves sorrow for Paul and sorrow for the Corinthians. Tough love always involves sorrow. In fact, if there's no sorrow on the part of those who have to exercise discipline, then it may not be tough love at all, but just wrath or revenge. You know, in my 28 years of college teaching, probably the hardest part of the job was having to be involved in the painful process of expelling students from school. It had to be done for many and various reasons, including the good of the student. This was tough love, and it was painful and sorrowful. Tough love involves sorrow. Doctrinal point number two, tough love involves forgiveness. Tough love involves forgiveness. You know, there are two dangers in reference to church discipline. Number one is that discipline is not carried out when it should be, and as a result, unjudged sin exists in the church. The other danger is that there is no attitude of forgiveness on the part of those who carried out the discipline. As a result, the healing process is limited on the part of all concerned. In the Corinthian case before us, the discipline had its intended effects, and the man causing the problem and involved in sin came to repentance. Titus brought this good news to Paul when they met in Macedonia. Whether this was the man of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who was involved in sexual sin or another individual causing problems, we don't know. In any case, Paul exhorts the Corinthians to forgive this repentant sinner and bring him back into the fellowship. The time of discipline was over. The Corinthians had passed the test of disciplining sin in the church, and it had worked. Now it was their responsibility to show love and forgiveness by comforting the man and restoring him to fellowship. Notice what Paul says could happen if they did not show love at this point. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If those exercising tough love are not willing to forgive, then before long, there is no love with the discipline, but rather hate and revenge and division, and the church splits or breaks up. So tough love must involve forgiveness. Now, what about practical application from 2 Corinthians chapter 2? Don't peddle the word of God. Don't peddle the word of God. Verses 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In these verses, Paul likens the ministry to a Roman triumph. After the Roman army would win a major war, they would have a victory march and celebration in Rome called a triumph. The victorious general would lead the procession of conquering soldiers as well as captive prisoners, many of whom would be put to death. Fragrant incense would be burned along the way. To those who were the conquerors, it was an aroma of life. To those captives who would die, it was an aroma of death. In the analogy, Paul likens Christ to the victorious general and the fragrant incense as the message of Christ. To Paul and other true servants, it was a fragrance of life. But to the false apostles, who were peddling the word of God, it was the aroma of death. These false apostles, who were undermining the ministry and authority of Paul, were unbelievers, as we saw in chapter 1. They were in the ministry for ulterior motives. They were manipulating Scripture for their own purposes. They were diluting the word of God for their hidden agendas and gain. They were peddling the word of God, like many preachers and ministers and TV evangelists today. Don't be ensnared. Don't peddle the word of God.